Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hey, this is John Zadak, TV voice of the Cincinnati Reds, and you're up for late night Reds talk.
Hello, everybody. Happy Wednesday, I guess happy Wednesday night after that baseball game we just witnessed, but welcome to another fantastic edition of Late Night Reds Talk Live, part of the Believe Podcast Network, and brought to you by our good friends at Bet Online. Our partners at BetOnline can be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports information. Find all the latest odds, news, and sports events, including NBA Summer League, Major League Baseball, the latest fighting news, and even next season's early NFL futures. Head to the website or use your mobile device today to sign up and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code BELIEVE, that's B-L-E-A-V, to get the bonus and get into action. Bet online, where the game starts. And our new friends, which surprisingly Nick was the one that made this relationship and not me, at Black River Baseball Cards. Baseball cards are back in Black River. Baseball cards is your number one spot to find the hits. Looking for Joey Votto cards? We have them. Tyler Stevenson, Luis Castillo, or Barry Larkin? Got those too. How about a Reds Law for a new collector? We have exactly what you're looking for. Black River Baseball Cards.eCrater.com has everything from vintage cards, color parallels, refractors, autos, relics, rookies, and more. And for late night Reds Talk Live listeners, Black River Baseball Cards is offering 10% off any order. Just go to blackriverbaseballcards.ecrater.com. Use the promo code LATENIGHTREDS at checkout to get 10% off any order. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Go follow Black River Baseball Cards on Twitter for more special deals at BlackRiverBC1. With that being said, we can go ahead and start this week's show as it's Yankee week after we had Mets week last week. So we're just kind of knocking out the burrows, I guess. I'm Tim Daniel. Excited as always to be with our excellent panel. Our producer who puts it all together, Mr. Nick Kirby.
Hey, what is going on? Happy to be here. Hey, a fun week of baseball for the Reds. Not going to let a 10th inning loss to the Yankees bring me down.
I'm with you, man. I'm with you. Also joining us, former big leaguer who has pitched at the original Yankee Stadium. We'll talk about that later in the show, Mr. Carlos Guevara.
What's happening, boys? How's it going? Stay. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And you hear her voice. One of the great people in baseball to follow on Twitter. You can check her out on Locked On Yankees 5 days a week, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Also on Twitter at Stay Scott. This is Miss Stacy Gatsoulias. Welcome to the show. Thanks for agreeing to come on super late in the night, but we're pumped to have you.
I'm a night owl. This isn't late for me. This is early.
Stacy is also one of the people I met through Locker Room that we've now had on the show, because I was in there with her and Jeff Carr one time on a random Thursday afternoon. I think we were just talking baseball and I was like, all right, we're friends now, cool. So now we are all doing pods together and stuff. And obviously the second of a 3-game set tonight at Yankee Stadium, where the Yankees pull a 10th inning victory 7-6 against the Reds. We do have the Reds having a 3 back-to-back-to-back homers in the second inning, but yes, the Reds do have their 5-game winning streak snapped last night. Obviously a crazy game where the Reds come back and win when they're down 3-0 in the ninth and score 4. Gerrit Cole, even when he's awesome, still can't get wins against the Reds. Still holding that strong to that. So obviously, Stacy, it's been a pretty great year for the Yankees through 88 games at 62-26. They're obviously a team that's in the hunt, not only for the, you know, potentially solid World Series contenders, but also at the trade deadline, which we'll be talking about a certain Reds pitcher who is being targeted by the Yankees as well. But when you look at this season, and obviously for us, our good friend Aroldis Chapman, who we got to see pitch tonight, is obviously taking a little bit of a step back in his role. And Aaron Boone is his record's making him look like a better manager than I hear Yankee fans complain about. But what is it about this Yankee team where it just seems to have finally come together? Because it's not like they like spent a ton of money in the offseason, but they've all, but they're the Yankees. So obviously, you know, I know people were upset about their inactivity, but it seems like their inactivity has really kind of worked for their favor so far.
So far, yeah. I feel like they've been good and lucky at the same time. You know, there's no denying that they were good this first half of the season. And the things that they used to have problems with, even in 2021, weren't happening. And Boone is one of those problems. You had jokingly mentioned how Yankee fans like to blame Boone for a lot of things. And the Boone losses have been few and far between this season so far. There have been a couple in the last few days. But, yeah, just the pitching is overperforming. Both starters and bullpen, although the starters have been taking a step back. We don't know what's wrong with Luis Severino. Something was obviously wrong because his velocity was down from the jump, so it didn't look good to begin with in tonight's game. Jameson Taillon has taken a big step back. He had an 8-inning outing against the Angels about a month and a half ago or a month ago, and since then, downhill. So some of the things that were working for them when they were really on that roll, it's kind of hurt them in the last few days, but I'm not going to complain about 62-26 at this point in the season because no one would have predicted it. So you won't hear a lot of complaints from me about that.
Yeah. And obviously the year Aaron Judge is having certainly doesn't hurt either with already having 30 homers.
Right. Well, yes, he's slowed down a bit and I know he's had some lower body soreness is what they're calling it, which is why he's sat out a few games the last week or so. And it seems to be affecting him because he's not looking that great at the plate. And hopefully he'll get better. And maybe I don't think he won't pass Maris in the home run race. I don't think he will. But he'll, you know, maybe he'll be close to what he did in 2017 when he had 52. Well, 53, but they called one back. It should have been 53. They ruled it a double, even though it bounced off a fan in the stands. I've never forgotten that. So every time they mention Pete Alonso having more home runs than him because he got 53, it's like, no, Judge actually had 53.
Yeah. We had that happen to us last year with Jesse Winker in Arizona. Remember that? The one that bounced off the chair?
It's unbelievable. Some of the stuff that's happening with like umpires and calls and stuff. I mean, we could talk about the home plate umpire tonight because he screwed both teams.
It was brutal.
Unbelievable. And that Trip Gibson guy against the Red Sox on Sunday night calling 3 called strikes to Stanton. None of them were strikes. Just I the robots cannot get here fast enough.
That's your that's music to Nick's ears. So
I mean, Stanton was getting screwed all night tonight too.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, holy I know it's cow, not easy in 3 at bats.
Yeah, I know it's not easy to be an umpire, but when a ball, like the strike 3 to Gallo wasn't even over the plate at any point, and he was so definitive with that call, like, yeah, let's strike 3. And I don't know how Gallo didn't, you know, freak out more, but
I feel like most umpires, you know, if you've been in the league a while, like if you're a Joey Votto, a Stanton, a Judge, and you have a bicker about a call, that the umpire will give you the benefit of the doubt next time.
Not Judge.
But Judge didn't.
Not Judge. They showed a graphic last week in his career up to that point, since he was a regular in 2017, he had had 433 balls called strikes out of the strike zone. And most of those were below his knees because they still can't figure out how to call the strike zone for a guy who's 6'7". It's like he's been in the league for 5 years. You have to maybe figure this out by now. I mean, what are they going to do the same thing to O'Neill Cruz too? You know, like figure it out.
Hopefully.
Well, for you guys, hopefully, right?
Yeah. Well, he'll probably be a Yankee in like 10 years. So, you know.
Wasn't that funny though, seeing O'Neill Cruz and Aaron Judge standing next to each other? Because usually when you see Judge next to someone, it's like Jose Altuve who looks like his child. And when you see someone who's eye to eye with Aaron Judge, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's like seeing 2 small forwards in the NBA. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I do have to ask before we get into the Luis Castillo talk. Obviously, being Reds fans, you know, there's a special spot in our heart for Aroldis Chapman. And it seems like, obviously, he he's not who he once was. The sharpness isn't where it was, but didn't look terrible tonight. You know, had a couple, you know, had a base hit that you gave up, but, you know, is it just kind of his age is catching up to him in your eyes? Is it just like, you know, because he's still hitting 99.
Right. But, you know, he's not going to hit up 105 anymore, 103. You know, those days are gone. And it's, I mean, you know, when you throw that hard and when you throw that much, the velocity is going to go down at some point. And it's just that, you know, 20 years ago, the average fastball was like 89.5 miles per hour. And now it's up to almost 95 miles per hour. And, you know, you're seeing these guys hitting 97, 98, 99 with regularity. And then when you see your oldest Chapman do it, it's like, oh no, what's wrong with him? And that's just such a weird thing to think. But, you know, yeah, age is catching up to him. Usage is catching up to him. And if he can get a slider to work and, you know, mix his pitches a little better, if the, you know, catchers can have him mix his pitches better. You know, Clay Holmes's night last night was a very strange. He couldn't grip the ball. It was obvious from the first pitch he couldn't grip the ball, and he was having a little bit of trouble again tonight. But I think he'll be okay. He just might be a little overworked. I like Aroldis Chapman as a setup guy now, and hopefully Boone will keep it that way. But, you know, it's not a bad thing for a former closer to be a setup guy.
No, not at all.
Yeah, and as you said, he wasn't that terrible tonight, which was nice to watch for us because, woof, he's had some bad outings this season, so it was good to see him not be terrible.
Because your old shadow window is, you know, if it's the ninth inning and he comes in, it's like 2-1, you have no worries.
Right.
So,
watching Holmes last night was like watching Chapman in the beginning of the season.
All right, so I know one of the big reasons we wanted to have you on here is obviously Luis Castillo talk. We talked about the Mets last week as a potential target. Now the Yankees, obviously a target. You're seeing a lot of teams reach out. The Dodgers leaked yesterday as a conversation. Nick put up a thing on Late Night Reds on our Twitter account, Late Reds, where you can see his breakdown of an idea for a trade. But this is obviously probably the biggest name pitching wise on the market. You just talked about Jameson Taillon taking a step back. Not 100% certain what's going on with Luis Severino. So this is a name that obviously has to be very attractive to Yankee fans, right?
Oh, yes. I mean, he has been for a bit, but now that, you know, some of these things are starting to happen. But even before some of those things started to happen, it was always in the back of people's minds that the pitching wasn't going to stay that good and that maybe the Yankees, because a lot of people are calling for the Yankees to get an outfielder, but I think they should get a starter first and then worry about the outfield and trading away Joey Gallo. Get Luis Castillo first.
We'll take Joey Gallo.
Yeah. I mean, that ballpark, he'd have fun there.
Excuse me? Speak for yourself, brother.
If he had more than 2 months of control, maybe, but I don't know what he's going to do in a 90-loss season.
That's true. That's very true. But, yeah, so obviously, I mean, I know one of the things that's kind of been going around is that for Luis Castillo, the Reds have been checking out a couple of people that that the Yankees have as far as prospects, including Anthony Volpe and Oswald Peraza. So, you know, what can you tell us about those players as potential prospects for the Reds? Is the prospects kind of your thing that you can kind of get into? Or,
well, luckily I had our prospects guy on my show the other day, and he was talking to me about these guys. Now, my thing about Volpe is they didn't get rid of him to get any of the, like, they didn't sign any of the guys in the offseason. They didn't trade for anyone in the offseason to play shortstop. Like, they traded Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, but that wasn't what everyone wanted them to do. And they were holding on to Volpe. And I don't think that he would be part of a deal for Luis Castillo as much as the Reds would want that, because the Yankees were so careful in not dealing Volpe and really making sure that he stayed around. Maybe Peraza. Our prospect guy was saying that maybe Jason Dominguez should be in a deal. Now, he's really young. He's still only 19, but he's having not a great time repeating high A, and he's not doing as well as people want him to. He's not as disciplined, and the prospects guy was thinking that maybe a change of scenery and less pressure would be better for Jason Dominguez, and that maybe he could be part of a package. I don't see Volpe going. And I also, I don't know, Peraza's doing really well. And I feel if Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, you know, he made his 10th error tonight. If he keeps not doing that well at shortstop, I wouldn't be surprised to see possibly Peraza at some point later this season. But I don't know what kind of a package you could do for Luis Castillo. But I really think the Yankees would hold on to Volpe. I don't think he would be part of it.
I can tell you that the last few times the Reds have made a deal with the Yankees involving prospects, it's been pretty rough. trading Denny Nagel for Drew Henson, yes, the former Michigan Wolverines quarterback, is definitely a memory that I never want to remember ever again as a Reds fan. Mm-hmm. That was painful. Well, obviously,
I don't really want to remember Nagel.
Eric Chigailo. Yeah, that's true. For some reason, he left the Reds and it just kind of went like that. But obviously, the Roldis Chapman trade, getting Eric Chigailo, didn't work out. So, you know, maybe this is the one, Nick and Carlos. Maybe this is the one for the Reds, right?
The last one was Sonny Gray. I mean, we're on a roll.
That was a major league player. I'm talking prospect.
Hey, that was the last trade, though. Last trade.
That's
we're on a
true.
Roll.
The Sonny Gray one did work out for us far more than it did New York for him for some reason.
Yeah, I was very disappointed in the Sonny Gray thing. I wanted things to work out for him. The pitching coaches were screwing with him. I think that if he had come to New York when it wasn't Larry Rothschild and it was actually Matt Blake, I think they would have done better by Sonny Gray and would have used his better pitches instead of trying to change his repertoire, which is what they kept trying to do with him. And it drove me crazy. So I was happy to see him go because I knew that it would be better for him to leave the Yankees, but it just annoyed me what they did with him.
We liked him. We miss him.
Yeah.
That's my guy.
I felt bad for him. I really wanted it to work out for him. And like I said, they messed with him too much. So.
Well, Nick, Carlos, I'll bring you guys into the conversation here. Is there anything, you know, Yankee prospect-wise that really jumps out to you? Any potential targets you like as far as under Castillo opportunity?
Well, I just have a question about, you know, like the Yankees strategy. Like, so Fangraphs has the Yankees as a 100% chance of reaching the playoffs. Like, they're pretty much playing out the string the rest of the season to get to the playoffs. I mean, does that kind of change your mindset as a fan of the team, as someone who covers the team, in terms of wanting to get like a player like Luis Castillo when it's, you know, pretty well wrapped up as opposed to another year where you're going to have to really fight to the finish?
Oh no. I want it to be like those years when Cashman would pull off these crazy, like weird trades, like when the Yankees got like Jose Canseco and Glenn Allen Hill. It's like, what are you doing? But then it worked out. You know, like I want that again. I don't care that they have 100. I'm burned by 2004 still 18 years later. So I don't trust anything. And I don't care that they have 100% chance. I want to step on people's throats. So I want them to do as much as they possibly can to make it 1,000% guarantee that they're going to make the playoffs. So they need a starter. They need to get Luis Castillo. I don't care how Brian Cashman does it, but he needs to do it. And the outfield, I don't know, you know, Hicks with that they say is a contusion on his shin last night, but I was at a game 6 years ago when Mark Teixeira did the same thing and he ended up having a broken leg. So, yeah, I feel like outfield and starter is what they need to do. And yeah, there's no amount of, oh, they're going to make the playoff. No, mm-mm. I've seen too many teams choke, not Yankees necessarily, but I've seen other teams choke. And no, I don't trust it at all.
Is there anyone else on the Reds' current roster that you would be interested in either as an addition with Castillo or as a separate deal? I know guys floated have been like Tommy Pham, Brandon Drury, Kyle Farmer, Donovan Solano.
I want Drury back. I do. I like him. Not Tommy Pham. I'm afraid of him. I really thought he was going to hit the umpire tonight like three times. I'm terrified of him because I know he likes to slap people and I just know. But Brandon Drury, sure. Sure. That would be fun to have him back. Solano, sure.
I don't know, man. Pham would fit really well in left field. You know,
True, but
I understand all the other stuff. If he would guarantee best behavior, he would be a great fit for the Yankees with, you know, the short porch.
True,
he'd play a really good left field defense.
Yeah, Yeah, left field is tough. You know, it's funny because people always talked about old Yankee Stadium left field. And, you know, I had been to some games seeing guys try to navigate the left field in the old stadium. And, you know, the new stadium is just next to it in the same position. So the sun is in the same place and everything. And yeah, it's tough playing left field in Yankee Stadium. People don't realize that until they do it. And then they're like, yeah, no, it's not fun. But yeah, I mean, if you can guarantee good behavior, then sure, why not? Tommy Pham.
Tyler Naquin, our guy, Reds in four, he'd be another really good one. I mean, I think he'd be like a nice upgrade probably over Gallo. You know,
at this point, I'd be an upgrade over Gallo, and I'm blind in one eye and probably wouldn't be able to hit anything. But, you know,
I don't think Naquin would probably cost very much either. So.
Poor
Plus
Gallo.
That short porch, him. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, he'd be a good. He could kind of have a, like, maybe not, I don't know, obviously not the same level as like Rizzo, but kind of that, you know, I could see that being a really, really good fit for him and his, you know, like hitter profile.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
That
and all those guys don't have facial hair. So, you know, no changes when they go to the Yankees.
Yeah. The thing about the facial hair, if you have a nice beard, I wouldn't mind it, but I don't like the beards that look like you can house people in them. That's just, I don't understand. I do understand the not wanting to shave thing. I get it because your face is sensitive. You don't want to have to shave every day.
Yeah.
I get that. But if the Yankees would allow guys to have close cropped beards, that'd be great. I mean, hey, they let Gerrit Cole have his little bob that he has, and they never used to do that. But of course, they're paying him $324 million. And he's probably like, I'm keeping my hair long. They're loosening up a little bit, but I don't see the Yankees doing like a Charlie Blackman sort of thing where they let that go. Like, no. But I really hope one day soon that they allow some facial hair because it's ridiculous that like they don't get guys. Like, guys are like, I'll never go to the Yankees because I don't want to shave. And that's just so stupid that the Yankees be like, all right, then don't come here. You know, or they make guys shave their heads like they're, or cut their dreadlocks off. Who was it that they did that to? And then they DFA'd him like 3 days later. I can't remember who it was. It was a few years ago. And it was like, what are you doing? Like, why? It's 2022. Well, definitely... and George Steinbrenner's dead for like how many years now? 12 years. Like, get over it already.
Then you definitely can't have Luis Castillo because he can't lose those luscious locks.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know why they do that. Yeah. And the mustache thing. I just saw the comment. For some reason. Yeah, you know, Jason Giambi had the mustache in 08. It was like a whole thing that they did with that. And, you know, they allowed that in the 70s and stuff, too. Well, then again, guys in the 70s all had mustaches. My dad had a mustache, too. I understand the long beard thing. But, yeah, mustaches and regular beard should be fine. I think that's silly. Yeah.
I understand.
Yeah.
Well, I have to ask you this before we get you out of here, and you've been awesome and really given a bunch of insight. I greatly appreciate it. So we got the Mets side of this last week, so I have to get the Yankees side. The fact that both teams are playing so well and both teams are having this awesome year.
No, I don't want another Subway Series.
No, I wasn't going there.
Okay.
What are things like in New York right now with both teams playing at such high levels?
It's fun. I mean, I'll say that, you know, there was that one cool stat before the Angels fell off a cliff that both New York teams and both LA teams, I mean, technically, whatever, were in first place. And now the Angels are, I mean, they literally fell off a cliff and that's not true anymore. But it is fun for both teams to be good. They're playing soon too, after the All-Star break. So that'll be nice and fun. But I was posed that question, you know, would you want a Subway Series? No, I lived through one. I don't want to live through another one. No. Yeah, can't do it again.
I can imagine.
Yeah. It was fun because the Yankees won it. But yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of like I made the point last week. My buddy's a diehard North Carolina fan. He was like, I don't want to play Duke in the Final Four. But now that they won in the Final Four, he's like, yeah, that was great. You know, I'd do it again. It's like, of course you
right.
would.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Well, this has been so awesome. You're one of the guests I've always wanted to have on here. So I really, really appreciate you giving us a few minutes of your time. Before we get out of here, though, can you please just take a quick second, shout out your show, where people can find you on social media and anything else you want to. By all means, take a moment.
Sure. You can find me at Locked On Yankees. We're on YouTube now. We're getting closer and closer to 1,300 subscribers, and it's fun to do the show. I make a lot of funny faces, and, you know, that's my thing. And you can find me on Twitter at Stace Gotts, STACEGOTS, because Stacey Gottsoulias is too long. And if you like cats, I'm on Instagram at srgots, and that's usually what I post, my cats, because I have a lot of them. So that's where you can find me.
Well, perfect. Well, if this Luis Castillo trade does in fact happen to the Yankees, we'll circle around. We'll make this happen again.
Okay.
Thanks again for your time, Stacey. We appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you for having me.
Thanks, Stacey.
Thank you.
Bye.
All right. So that was a really fun interview. Really excited to have her on. Let's kind of talk real quick. So obviously, you know, tonight was a bummer. Obviously didn't go the Reds' way. But this is a team that was just on a 5-game win streak. You know, like Nick said at the beginning of the game, obviously you never want to see a wild pitch go there. But, you know, with a young pitcher like Alexis Diaz, a young catcher like Tyler Stevenson, that's going to happen. And, you know, 1-5 in a row. We got the Andy Sabo thing to happen. We started it here. And now it's going to happen, tomorrow night on Reds Live. But the way this team was playing, the way they were finding ways to win, last week having 4 walk-offs, last night, like I said, being down 3-0 in the top of the ninth and scoring 4 to win. I think this kind of goes to what we've been trying to say all year in the sake of, you know, obviously this team is not going to make some magical run at the playoffs. We know they're going to be sold at the trade deadline. But when they're fully healthy, all 26 or 28 guys are there, depending on what point we're talking in the season, a much better baseball team than their record says they are.
Yeah, I mean, this was, you know, you kind of saw some of the team that we thought coming into the year, you know, with the lineup. It's a competitive lineup. You know, it just thinks they were, you know, 3-22 and buried. I don't know. You know, a positive spin is maybe we look back on this in 6 or 7 years and the Reds get some big hauls at the trade deadline. And, you know, maybe they would have like been a fool's gold into July and, you know, been like 3 games over .500 and not sold and then, you know, tanked in the second half. So, you know, I don't know, but it's been fun to see. And I guess it's really been fun that so many of the contributors have been younger players and players that are going to be here for, we hope, you know, the long haul with Senzel and India, you know, finally coming around. So, yeah, I mean, that part of it's been fun for sure.
It does feel like with the India thing. Yeah, it seems like the bat's kind of coming back slowly but surely. I know he didn't have the greatest night at the plate tonight. But, yeah, Dylan Rushman, can't wait for the Luis start tomorrow against the Reds. That's pretty funny. I like that. This India thing with the defense, it's like giveth and taketh, right? Like today, I mean, last night, he pulls the double play that's challenged to win the game. Today, it looks like an easy double play that he doesn't turn and leads to Mike Minor having a rough inning. You know, Carlos, obviously, as the pitcher, I know you like kind of have to trust your defense to back you up there. But when these, you know, with India, we've been talking about this forever, like for 2 years now. He has the flashes where you're like, oh, man, he could be a really good defender. Then he has like, I don't know if it's lack of concentration or what, but we see stuff like we saw tonight.
I don't know, man. I get the sense that he's probably better off like at third base. He's got a strong arm. And I don't think his range is all that great. I think if it's better as a third baseman, but you know, those kind of plays happen throughout a season, throughout a game. You just gotta kinda try to deal with it and move on to the next one. But overall projection with guys that are coming up, I don't know. I think I might pencil in Jonathan India at third base, and I don't know, maybe he gains a little bit more muscle, a little bit more weight, and becomes a power hitting third baseman instead of trying to be so mobile and being a second baseman. I feel like that might fit his body type a little bit more, but I don't know. We'll see.
Never thought about that, honestly. That's not a terrible idea, because obviously, you know, he was drafted as a third baseman, but, you know, like every Red, just about, except for Joey Votto and Tyler Stevenson. But
I mean, you see how much like he gained muscle over the offseason, and he noted it, and he looked noticeably bigger. And I don't know, maybe he got a little bit too much muscle, started pulling them, I guess, that he wasn't used to. I don't know. I mean, I feel like he could be a pretty solid power hitting third baseman.
I definitely think it should be a conversation. You know, it shouldn't be a he's our second baseman, we're not going to worry about it. I mean, he's now at minus 11 career outs above average at second base, minus 4 this year. I've seen no signs of improvement. He made a great throw the other day that made me think, hey, the arm, you know, I think would play it at third base. So I don't know. I mean, it definitely, I mean, if we don't see any improvement, I don't think they need to do it, you know, midseason or anything like that. But if there's no improvements, I mean, I think there needs to be a plan to maybe move him to third base, or Resin 4, kind of interesting. Maybe Indy is the first baseman of the future. I mean, hey, I guess, especially if he bulks up. I mean, you know,
he's like 5'8". No,
he's 6 even.
I honestly, those are good points. I feel less intelligent that I haven't thought of that, but you guys really make solid points on that.
He's 2 inches shorter than Votto. 2 inches shorter. Come on.
That's a lot, sir.
I'll be polite.
Time to
go wake your wives up and ask if 2 inches is.
Whoa! Hey! All right! Oh, Red Sox getting a little frisky here.
Whoa! Oh!
Seriously, go ask him. I'll wait.
All right, long sleep, man.
Yeah, same. So before we kind of get into other conversations, I wanted to make mention real quick. First off, I know the drafts this weekend. If you want to check out, Carlos talked about his draft experience last year. That's in the archives. You can find that. But also kind of cool that this week the Reds are in Yankee Stadium. I've talked about it quite a few times on the show in the past, and obviously, but Carlos, you've actually pitched in the sacred halls of Yankee Stadium. You pitched in classic Yankee Stadium. It's last year. I've made mention quite a few times. You struck out Alex Rodriguez, obviously, there. You faced Derek Jeter. But obviously kind of having that experience as a guy who grew up as a baseball fan, obviously, you know, we knew what the Yankees were. They were kind of the bar, and, you know, especially our age group, they were winning World Series, just felt like yearly at times. Did you kind of get that aura and that vibe in that when you walked in there through those, like those, to pitch those games?
Oh yeah. The first time that we went out there, it was, just for, you know, pitcher stretch, and you walk out there and you don't really think much of it. You get out there and there's a couple of fans, but you stretch and you throw, get your work in, and then you're kind of like looking around and seeing what's all about. And then you're like, damn, I remember these sights from movies, you know? And the next thing you know, the hitters are out and they're stretching, and it's time for BP. And I'm still out there. Like, I've already done my work. And I remember it like it was yesterday. It was just, I'm sitting there in left field and people started, heads up. And like Trevor Hoffman reaches up, sorry, name drop. He reaches up like above my head and catches a ball. And he's like, hey man, you got to pay attention. I was like, oh shit. Like I lost where I was at for a second, because it was just like, you know, you've seen all these movies, you see all these clips, you see all these commercials. Everything you see growing up is Yankee Stadium, Yankees in the playoffs. Baseball is Yankees growing up, you know, for people like my age. And Trevor was like, just take it in, man. I got you the rest of the time. And, you know, like I'm just there, like just looking around. And then like that day I get called in to pitch. And nothing bothered me. Like, I remember as soon as I started, like, took my jacket off, started getting warming up. These guys are, like, talking about my sisters. They know them by name. Like, they didn't say anything, like, too bad. But, you know, the fact that they knew my sisters' names, I'm like, oh, my gosh. This is crazy. And so, warm up, get out there to the game, throw my inning or whatever. But I had no recollection of what was really going on. It was just all so fast. And then I get in the dugout and I knew I was done, and I'm just sitting there and I'm looking, I'm like, oh my God, I just pitched in Yankee Stadium. Like, I walked down the same tunnel that so many greats have ever walked down. And it's just like the movie shows. It's like this wide the entire way down. You have light bulbs that are like flashing. because there's water and like mildew and nasty stuff like coming through them and they're like flickering. And you're walking down, you hear your kids go, and you just think of like all the greats that have done that. I mean, Yankee Stadium was there forever. And I walked down the same path as them. Like, I'll forever be grateful for that moment.
That's pretty freaking cool, honestly. Is there a different aura, like, you know, when like Derek Jeter comes to bat? Because I know you faced him. I know it didn't go your way, obviously. But like, you hear the classic number two, all that. What is that? Well, is that like kind of like an experience in and of itself?
Like during the moment, no, I didn't really care. But whenever I sat down, like I said, like I remember hearing it. Number two, Derek Jeter, because he still had him. I forget his name, but he had already passed away by then. But Derek Jeter still had his recording playing him coming up to bat. It was like, number two, Derek Jeter, number two. It's like, that was pretty cool.
That was pretty cool. And of course, yes, you struck out Alex Rodriguez, which we love to mention because he's not the most lovely.
Hey, but I'm in the Hall of Fame. I gave up a hit to Derek Jeter or whatever.
Yeah, right. You know, you can give up a hit to the worst guys and, you know, it's pretty okay. Bob Shepard. Okay. Yeah. Perfect. Thanks, Dick. Yeah. Well, thanks for sharing that, man. I just wanted to make sure, you know, we got a chance to talk about that because it's obviously pretty cool when your buddy pitched at, you know, those hallowed grounds. So I want to make sure you kind of got to talk a little bit about the experience there as well.
Before that outing, I accidentally tipped over a bookshelf. Like Adrian Gonzalez was there watching tape before the game. And my locker was like right there next to him. And I didn't know it was like a makeshift locker that was there. And like I leaned against it and it tilted over and it hit him on his head while he's watching film. Like, oh God, I just killed our best player. I'm out of here.
You didn't get DFA'd though that day.
Not then, shortly after.
Yeah. That's really cool, man. That's really neat experience for sure. Let's talk a little bit about Luis Castillo, folks, making the All-Star team for the second time. Obviously pitching tomorrow for the Reds. Not against the Reds, as was mentioned earlier in the conversation, Dylan Rushman. But obviously, you know, been lights out of late. Really, you can make the case he's been maybe not the best pitcher in baseball of late, but pretty damn close. You know, if this truly is the end of the Luis Castillo run in Cincinnati, like it sounds like it's going to be, I'm really going to miss him. It's been really awesome. But just seeing him go out the way he has for us has been pretty freaking cool, especially considering he missed so much time this year with injury. To see him doing what he's doing is pretty great.
Pitching really well at the best possible time for the long-term future of the Reds.
Yeah, no kidding. Top pitcher on the market for the trade deadline, you know, we'll take it.
Yeah, hopefully goes out and shelves tomorrow and really showcases himself. And I'm excited. I'm excited he made the All-Star game. You know, I think the Reds have to trade him. I made my piece on that. I hope there's a massive bidding war the next couple weeks and, you know, get some franchise changing pieces back.
Yeah, I'm with it. Are you guys kind of surprised Brandon Drury didn't make it?
I mean, I think I mentioned a couple weeks ago, I thought Castillo could be, just because, you know, they often, when you're the last place team, they just take a pitcher.
Right.
So, I mean, I'm not surprised. I wouldn't be shocked if Drury still finds his way on there with injury replacements. I mean, Drury's having a great season, but like there was other guys that were probably bigger snubs like Austin Riley. Although I think that Austin Riley get added, he might have gotten added.
Yeah, I'm not sure yet, but yeah, he wasn't a big snub compared for his position.
He wasn't Joey Votto 2010 snub.
Oh God.
You know, like nothing like that. I mean, so overall, I think the Reds typically have done pretty well in these games. I remember the Reds were like in last place and got 4 All-Stars one year.
Yeah, the scooter year.
When Matheny was the manager, which was just even more bizarre that the Cardinals like guy selected a bunch of Reds.
Yeah. What was the year Tony La Russa didn't select Brandon Phillips and everyone was like up in roars and everything? That was pretty funny. Was that 11?
I don't know. Did Brandon Phillips, man, he didn't make enough All-Star games, did he?
Yeah, right? Yeah. Man, but he did cool things between his legs when he was fielding balls, Dick. Didn't you know?
Magical.
Magical. Yeah. Oh, man. Sorry, I had to get the joke in. Okay, so John Boy posted this. This is a good list, see?
Yeah, because I didn't really realize this, you know, Peraza, the second Yankees top prospect at shortstop. Overall, his numbers don't look that good. I didn't realize he's really been hitting well the last, like, 28 games. I mean, that's almost 1,000 OPS. And I know he's a really, really good glove shortstop. So, I don't know. I mean, definitely like, you know, Volpe a lot better. Definitely, you know, seems like, you know, the better player. But, you know, this guy's only 22 years old at AAA, you know. So, I mean, that's interesting.
I like the 19 steals. Big fan of that.
Yeah.
How many bunts?
Oh, that's a good question.
I don't know. Hopefully it's all home runs or bunts.
Yeah.
That's all we want.
Yeah. Especially the shift's going to be a pie now. Didn't you hear? It's a slice of pie now is what the shift is. So you got to stay within the pie range. Yeah. Let's talk about my guy. Let's talk about some Nick Senzel action here, guys. How about this?
He's back. Kind of.
But he's hurt again.
Kind of.
Yeah. That was weird tonight, wasn't it? Where it's like he comes in the pinch run. I know he gets thrown out, whatever. But like then he plays the outfield and then he doesn't hit. So it's like kind of.
No, it was not weird. It's because his back is hurt again. Like, okay. It's not weird. No, this is normal for Nick Senzel. This is Nick Senzel.
Please stay healthy, man.
I know that 173 win runs for the last month and 444.
Not with that attitude.
Yeah.
We can't have nice things.
Man, so many things are just fixed with the good Nick Senzel. I mean,
I know, man. So many. Him and India, if they're good, it's, you know,
it's different trajectory.
I mean, yeah, for sure. But, you know, been really fun to watch him play of late. I know the power isn't where people want the power to be. But, you know, the contact rate, obviously, has been solid. You know, the speed has been be able to show off a little bit. Maybe not so much tonight, but it was a Aroldis Chapman. So I'm going to let that one slide when he picked him off. But
no, what the fuck was he doing? No, no,
that
no,
was
no,
weird.
No,
it was. Yeah, it was definitely let that like slide. It's my love and my heart for Aroldis Chapman. That's why I'm letting it slide. Anyone else?
If that was a high school kid, like the seventh batter in a high school lineup, a high school coach would rip his ass for getting picked off at first base like that. Much less in the big leagues. What are you doing?
The way his shoulder moved, it was like, oh, yep, that's happening. He's out.
Like, that was terrible. So
bad. I don't want him stealing bases. Why even risk, like, especially this season? Just you take one foot off the bag and that's all you need.
He was trying to do something because Stuart Fairchild's coming for that ass. He's coming for that starting spot, baby.
I think there's going to be a couple outfield spots available.
Yeah, probably a few weeks. But yeah,
they're going to be competing.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think they might be hanging out next to each other.
Seriously, just stop stealing bases. What's the point? Like, he doesn't need to steal. Just get on base. I don't, you know, do the softball. Just stay on the bag. I don't care. Like,
it shows grittiness. Cincinnati needs grittiness.
It shows something.
Yeah, it shows something. I've never seen a worse base runner with 80th percentile speed. Yes, Reds in four. We talked about this last year with Carlos about just fast guys who had an inability to steal. He talked about Chris Dickerson in the minors for some reason was super fast, but also had the same issues.
Chris Dickerson. Traded for Jim Edmonds, right?
Yeah. Traded for Jim Edmonds. That's a weird ass trade Reds history.
Whole nother conversation there.
Well, it's after midnight. I mean, is it allowed?
Yeah. I mean,
I might have to turn down the lights for this combo.
Well, I guess we'll get to some Brandon Drury conversation here, because obviously this is kind of the another one of the Reds players who's getting a lot of trade conversation. Rumored to show interest are the Dodgers and the Giants. And we've been talking, Nick, all year, Kyle Farmer to the Giants. Is this the possibility of a combo Drury Farmer thing here happening? Is this what we're getting at with this?
Sure. Yeah. I'm fascinated to see.
Me too.
What Brandon Drury gets, because I have absolutely no idea. It's just, you have a player with like no track record, but is hitting really well. The Statcast numbers support that it's not some like fluky thing, at least with what he's done. He's cheap as hell. Like, he's not like he's going to cost a team like $300,000. Like, that's it. And he's like a starting caliber player. Like, yeah, but this is only 1 year of control. So it's such a weird trade prospect. I'm fascinated to see.
What do you think about extending him, offering him, you know, just for another year, maybe two more years into 24? Because that's probably going to be pretty cheap. You could probably throw him in between $1 million to $2 million a year. Maybe, you know, maybe just two, whatever, for the next couple of years as a guaranteed contract for a guy who has never had one, as opposed to what you're going to get in return for him. I mean, what are you going to get? Like a 25th ranked prospect?
Yeah. That
and you're going to be looking for guys like him next year, even though you're going to be rebuilding. And then even in 24, you're going to be looking for guys like him. You have him here. He's hitting very well. He's probably the best that you're going to get him. Maybe throw some money in front of him. See if he stays.
I kind of agree with this, honestly.
You could also trade him and try to sign him in the offseason. I mean, that's happened. Like Alex Wood.
Aroldis Chapman.
The Dodgers traded him. Yeah, the Yankees, Ross Chapman. I mean,
so what are you going to get in a trade?
I mean, something.
Like what?
He could lower his value somewhere else. Trade him to San Francisco. He struggles hitting there.
But like, okay, right now at his peak, what could you get for him? Like, what? Like, he's a borderline all-star player. What can you get for him for the next 3 months?
I have no idea. I'm fascinated to see. There's not really like a track record for this type of player getting moved that's this cheap. Like, you know, like, he has like a higher OPS than like I think Chris Bryant had last year. I'm not saying he's Chris Bryant level player, but Chris Bryant cost a ton of money, like $7-8 million for 2 months. Brandon Drury is costing a team nothing. So I don't know what his value is. I mean, I think you got to shop him and see. I'm not against signing an extension, but you also got to factor in that you could, you know, potentially sign him again in the offseason. It doesn't, you can trade him and still.
I mean, you can, but if you offer that now, it matters. Like, while he's wearing a Reds uniform, if you say, hey, I want you here, that matters to a guy.
Sure.
I understand that.
I just don't see what you're going to get for him. Like, even if he was named an all-star, what are you going to get for 3 months of Brandon Drury?
3 months of Brandon, 3 months of Brandon Drury at almost the league minimum, though. I mean, that's a big factor in this. Is, you know, a lot of these teams, you know, maybe not the Giants and the Mets and those type of teams, you know, but some of these other teams that are in contention, the Mariners, their payroll's lower than the Reds. Like, they would love a player like Brandon Drury to add, you know, into their mix of guys that's not going to cost them the money that they, you know,
Tampa
have or refuse to spend. Yeah, Tampa would be the type of team that, you know, they're not going to spend the money. So I don't know, you know.
My Mariners? Could they use?
every team could use Brandon Drury. He can play third base, second base, outfield, first base. I mean, I don't know what team could not use Brandon Drury.
Probably give you an inning or two.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah. Yeah. Reds and Four commented, you know, the Cubs got a top-tier prospect for a half year of psychotic Javi Baez. I think Drury can return something significant. That's a fair point. And like we said, like what Nick said, it's like there's no way of telling what this, like, what if it was like how high or how low his like trade value is, just because you don't see this kind of thing happen. Where this, the guy who signed, was like, got an invite to the major league camp on spring training on a minor league deal, and was a borderline National League All-Star. Like, it's just, it's not common.
I think that's why it'll make it super low on the return, because everybody's expecting him to come down, even the Reds. Everybody's expecting him to come down to what he was.
And I'm not saying you're wrong by any means with that. Yeah, because like I said, it's just so fascinating.
Yeah, that's why I would rather say, you know what? Here's $2 million for next year. You want to come back? Sign this now.
Okay, what if he denies that? Then you're trading him?
I think you're doing both at the same time.
Yeah, I agree. I'm all for offering him something. You know, maybe it's you know, something that's low like that. I don't think he would accept that right now. I mean, I think he probably wants to, unless you're offering him like a couple years at, you know, maybe 10, 15 million, I don't think he's accepting that right now. I think he's going to want to finish out the season.
He's at a weird spot because he's never done this in his career. So he can be like brave and bank on himself. And that could totally screw him over because he's never played at this level before. And if he banks on that, says, no, I don't want to sign an extension, and then he goes back to his normal numbers, he's going to leave $1 million on the table.
Yeah. He has earned 5.7 so far in his career. So which is kind of surprising. I would have thought he made that much, but
yeah, same.
He got a 2020. He got a $2 million in arbitration. And they got DFA'd after the season, but
you know, there's that. So moving forward,
that even further proves my point. It's all about the money. Get your money when you can, Brandon Drury.
Take care of your chicken.
Give him a little bit of money.
As Marshawn Lynch said, take care of your chicken, right, Carlos?
I want them to trade someone and then them sign him back in the offseason, because I think that'd be fun. It could be Naquin. Well,
we always want that to happen, but it never happens. Ever.
That was like the old Hal Morris. Like, they would always get rid of Hal Morris, and somehow he'd always find his way back to the Reds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. The grass isn't the field isn't always as friendly. Other places.
True. Yeah, it's true. Other guys who've been talked about for potential. Ooh, both parties do a 2-year, $12 million. I mean, I think if, like Dick just said, Brandon Drury's made 5.7 his whole career. If he's getting 6 a year, I think he's probably pretty interested in that.
Yeah, I mean,
he'd sign that tomorrow.
I would sign that under the assumption that he's only bringing back like a 25th prospect. If he's bringing back, you know, teams like, you know, 10-15 range, I don't know. I mean, I think I'm trading him and I'm cashing in on it.
For sure. I'm with you on that, but I don't think he brings back anything near that.
I say he'd probably split the difference. He's probably like right around like the 20th best. But again, not every farm system's equal though. So
yeah, that's also true.
Fascinated to see. I really have no idea. So
feels like it's gonna be Tampa.
None of us do.
Castellanos probably ruined teams wanting guys with the crazy GABP road splits. Well, Reds Gal 21 Cincy, that's a great conversation because we're starting to talk about a pitcher who seems to have those conversations quite a bit, and that's Tyler Mahle. He was throwing in Cincinnati today. David Bell sees on track to pitch one of the first three games after the All-Star break, which, hey, the three of us hanging out together at those games. Find us. We'll say hello. We'll take pictures. We love you guys.
Please just start Lodola one of those games. Please do.
Yeah, seriously.
Come on. Do it for me, David.
So
you're going to sit in the stands and watch
baseball?
Yeah, like if we go to the game, you're going to sit there and watch Lodolo pitch?
course.
That's typically why I go to a baseball game.
You know, I'm going to be walking around, grabbing beers, some nachos, maybe ice cream in a cup.
Well, if we're sitting where you say we're sitting, you have a private bar and concessions area. So, and they also bring the food and beer to you on the phone. You can request it.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Yeah. I got you, fam. I got you. transition. Thanks, Resin 4. That was one of my fighter ones. This is what happens when Tim doesn't fall asleep before the game ends. So you're welcome. Okay, back to Mally. So we've talked a bit about him being a name that comes up for being traded quite a bit. Carlos has spoken out. I don't know if he's done as much here. I know he did on Twitter. He has in text message with us that, you know, as if this team's planning on getting better and being good in, you know, 24, like the target year when they're going to be really free of salary cap space and so much under the cap. Maybe this is the guy you keep. Maybe this is the guy that's your ace and starts opening day next year. And I'm not against that. You know, I've had my frustrations with him, but it seems of late you've seen kind of how good he can be when he's on. And so, you know, Carlos, I know you're kind of been the captain of Don't Trade Tyler Mallet, and I've been, you know, a little bit behind you. I wouldn't say co-captain necessarily, but I'm with you on it. You know, what about him that kind of makes you, I don't know, is passionate to keep him the right word or?
No, it's just security. Like these three starters, the rookie guys that we have there, like, I mean, you don't know what they're going to be like in 2 years. You hope they keep progressing, but they might not. They might regress. You don't know. And someone like Tyler Mallet, who's been around for a little while, you know what you're going to get from him. Even though his numbers have been, you know, bad at home, you got to put the whole package together. I mean, he's a solid pitcher. He's a number three on a playoff team. And if the Reds are going to be a playoff team, he's not going to be their one or two. He's not what they're planning to be the one or two. They're planning on Lodolo and Green, possibly Ashcraft to be those top two guys. So, but he's that guy that you need around. I'm not saying offer him the bank, but offer him something to stay here. And if he doesn't want to, then you can trade him. But someone like him to keep around, I feel is vital because, you know, you trade him, you trade Luis Castillo. Who are these pitchers going to learn from? I mean, you just stick around and you listen to a coach the whole time. I mean, that's not going to get you anywhere. You need somebody who's been there, been in the trenches, and knows what they're talking about. And the day after they start, you can sit there and on the stretch line and talk with them and see what happened. If he's gone and Castillo's gone, who do you have to teach these guys? Like, there's nobody in the starting rotation that's going to teach them. I mean, Mike Minor, I guess, but
yeah,
I don't know. I think that's a pretty big deal. So if I'm the Reds, I'm trying to keep Tyler Mallet. He's younger than Castillo. He's going to be cheaper, and he's going to be a solid starter. To have a solid starter in your 5-man rotation with a bunch of question marks, I think that's kind of a wise decision to make.
Yeah, there's no question in my book, if I had to choose between Luis Castillo or Tyler Mallet with all the factors of age, Mallet probably being cheaper still, even though he's younger, I would absolutely 100% have Mallet ahead of Castillo. It's not even close in my book. I mean, you look at some of the, you know, like advanced numbers. I mean, Mally's ahead of Castillo right now. And again, I mean, you know, some of those, you know, some of the things that Luis Castillo does have kind of outpitched some of the like the fielding independent pitching and things like that over the last couple years. But I think these guys are a lot closer than a lot of people think. So I'm all for that. But there's so many factors with Tyler Mallet. Number one, would he even want to re-sign here? I don't know the answer to that. He has struggled at home. He is a guy that's from the West Coast. I don't know the answer to that. See, that's first and foremost, is would he even want to resign here? And then, I mean, the second part is what are teams offering for him? If they're offering big holes, then I don't know. I mean, I think it with pitchers, when you can cash in, it's probably the best decision, in my opinion, just because of, you know, a lot of the injury risks and things like that. But again, it's really hard to know for sure the direction the Reds should go one way or the other without really knowing those two factors, for me at least.
I'm all team keep Tyler Mahle too, unless something happens, like, you know, they can get some elite top tier prospect to have him pitch in a bigger park.
Keep some sort of veteran, because I'm afraid of what they'll bring in to be a veteran.
Yeah, I agree. I really agree. Because I don't know, like, you look at, like, the Pirates, who's, like, their veteran pitcher. It's like, you don't want to be in that situation. And I don't know. Maybe the Cubs will keep stinking, too. And Kyle Hendricks can come to Cincinnati. Is that a possibility? Can we do that?
So you have, like, a 50 ERA Great American Ballpark.
Yeah. Well, that's true.
I guess he wouldn't have to face Aquino, though, so.
Right? Yeah, or Votto. That?
Speaking of Aristides Aquino,
we're on our transition night today. I thought he got it up.
DFA'd option to.
Oh no, he's back! He's back! He's still back. Here? Two
out of
walks,
necessity. He's back.
Two walks tonight in his Louisville rehab debut. Great performance from Aristides this evening. Jake Fraley had a walk in his return, and Justin Dunn is inching closer. I'm assuming they're probably going to try to keep him.
Justin Dunn, go ahead and stay in Louisville for a little while longer, brother. What is that? 11 inning pits, 9 hit. Oh. Ew.
Rehab starts.
It's not a rehab start when you're not a big leaguer. Justin Dunn is not a big leaguer.
Did he pitch an inning in the minor leagues last year?
I don't know. You're asking the wrong guy.
He did not. He pitched the entire season in the big leagues.
And what was his numbers?
Last year? 3.75 ERA.
For real?
the
man, that boy good.
The Statcast numbers were rough. He actually hasn't pitched in the minor leagues since 2019. Although, I don't know, 2020 he pitched 45 innings, 10 starts. Now, that's pretty close to the full season, right? It's one out of six games, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, so realistically, he's been a major league pitcher since 2019. He's just had some injuries, so.
Shows what I know. Lucas Sims, he gone.
Yeah, out for the year.
Connor Overton, though, you know, trending towards coming back when we get some pitchers shut down. He's going to finish out the season.
My guy, CO?
I'm here for a Connor Overton September 25th no-hitter.
Yeah, against the Pirates, because he, like, kicked their ass the games he pitched against them this year. Let's do it.
Yeah.
You guys.
Got to have something positive to talk about here, Carlos. Obviously, besides our good friend Ellie De La Cruz, who continues to shock people. So I got to mention this real quick. I had a buddy who went to the Dragons game last weekend. It was last week or the week they were in town for like their 37 games in a row. And he was like, I'm here to check out LED to the Cruz. I'll text you my thoughts. And I said, okay. He goes, well, yeah. He's like, he made two really good defensive plays. Had a couple of looping liners. And he goes, he's fast as fuck. That was the scouting report. So as we're seeing, sorry for my language, but it's after midnight. So I think we're okay at this point. But just in case, I'm just quoting what was text to me. But yeah, you know, 361 on base, 610 slugging. That OPS is very sexy. 2020 season so far, and homers and stolen bases. Arm Layton did say, you know, he's probably gonna be he's a better prospect than Jason Dominguez. And like Stacy talked about earlier, right now it's looking like it. So
yeah, I think he's up to 21 in the Baseball America update. Probably going to climb even higher than that. I mean, he hit 5 home runs in the last week. So, yeah, De La Cruz will be in the Futures game on Saturday.
Yeah.
Available on Peacock, along with Andrew Abbott. And then I have a feeling he might be bumped up to Chattanooga after that. Sounds like that would kind of be a good transition point. I was listening to the Dragons broadcast on my way into the to see the Dragons yesterday. Of course, Elio De La Cruz did not play. Thanks, guys, for that. And the Dragons play-by-play announcer was speculating on that, so that kind of made me think, hey, maybe he thinks there's something going on there. So,
look at those Alan Serta numbers. Look at that OPS.
Yeah, Serta is really killing it power-wise. He's got a really high walk rate. I think it's like 17%, but a pretty high K rate as well. So, a little bit of good and bad there, but. Yeah, I mean, he's on the 40-man roster, so hopefully he continues to progress. You know, maybe he can kind of get into the mix, you know, maybe some point next year. That'd be kind of cool.
You're hitting 219 at double A. You're not getting in the mix, buddy.
It's 372 on base percentage, though.
Yeah, hitting 219.
Okay. And then a guy I threw in there, Matt Nelson. He was the only guy really in Dayton that stood out yesterday because they had like three hits. They got dominated with De La Cruz out of the lineup. But he did throw out two runners. He looked really, really good. Me and Joel Luckup actually was sitting next to each other. We were both very impressed with him behind the plate. He was the first round pick, like the comp pick. In the first round last year. I think he's obviously got a long ways to go with the bat, but really was impressed with his defensive ability.
Were y'all wearing like scout unis? Were y'all wearing like Hawaiian button downs, straw hat?
Radar gun, just taking like, notes. Their faces. Yeah.
Stopwatch.
I had a polo. For no apparent reason. I had a polo because I was, you know, I was on my lunch break at the game. So.
Dang it. You got to go all out, Nick.
Yeah, bro. Come on. But, yeah. And then, of course, Chase Petty continued to make that Sonny Gray trade look very, very nice for the future of the Reds. So, hope that keeps up. All right. That brings us to the remaining schedule before the All-Star break, where, you know, they have one more game tomorrow in Yankee Stadium. Luis Castillo potentially will be making his next few starts as a member of the New York Yankees in Yankee Stadium after this, like we talked about earlier in the show. And then after that, you get to see the three young guns go against the St. Louis Cardinals with Hunter Green pitching on Friday, Nick Lodola Saturday, and Graham Ashcraft Sunday, going against Andre Palante, Miles Mikolas, and Steven Matz. So, and then, of course, they're off Monday, and the All-Star game's Tuesday, and they come back and play St. Louis again for six in a row. So that's when the boys being the three of us, will be in GABP hanging out, celebrating my birthday, having some beers, watching baseball.
Watching trade rumors.
Yeah.
We're going to have a hard time doing an emergency podcast.
We'll go to Carlos's hotel room, wherever that is. I'll just put my equipment there just in case.
I'll pack my mic.
I got plenty of extra mics, so you don't have to worry about bringing anything.
Awesome. Yeah.
So, obviously, a lot of fun there. And then, as always, if you're really enjoying the show and you're really supporting the brand, which we're very grateful, we're seeing some sales pick up there. Go ahead and check out latenightreds.merchmake.com, where you can get t-shirts, sweatshirts, dog bandanas, Carlos, dog bandanas,
granny panties,
dog bandanas, coasters, shot glasses, things like that. So, you guys wanted a Big Red Platoon t-shirt? We got one up there for you. In multiple colors as well. So, check those out and, support show some love for the team. We definitely appreciate it. This has been, you know, a really fun couple of weeks to talk about the Reds. I'm not just saying that because I was the one that booked our two guests, but, you know, actually had a really good insight on the Yankee and the New York teams with the potential Luis Castillo trade market back-to-back weeks. So that's been a lot of fun. And then of course, you know, like we said, so, we were the infamous podcast that asked Miss Annie Sabo how many wins it would take for her to break out the rec specs, and she said five. So she did tweet. It sounds like she'll be breaking those out tomorrow on TV. She didn't say pre or post game, so you have to watch both. I know we will be. But
how relieved were you that they didn't win tonight?
I'm a team player, man. Even if I was drinking a lot of bourbon that night.
If they won three more games.
I mean, I was gonna have to explain it to my wife, but I mean, it's on wax. You know, you can't back out of wax.
We still you wait till that late. Tell them about that September schedule, Nick.
Yeah, you're right. Might as well go ahead and schedule the appointment for mid-October.
Who do we got in September, Nick?
Just not sure we're going to have the pitching to get eight wins in a row. Connor Overton can't start every night.
Gets the Pirates when they play him seven games in a row. Yeah, but we're going to go ahead and close this out. Thanks for tuning in after. I forgot what it is like to have these 7-10 games instead of these 640s. Not a fan of it. For 640s, not going to lie to you.
I hate 640.
Do you?
I don't mind it on the podcast nights, but yeah, during the wait till you have some youngsters running around. You won't appreciate 640.
Well, hell, you know, you got the Guardians playing at 610. I mean, I'm up there. I can only imagine what that's like. So, but thank you all for tuning in. Thanks to our guests, Stacey Gatsoulias. Be sure to check her out if you want to get some more Yankees trade talks in there as well. And of course, check out our friends at Bet Online. Use our promo code BELIEVE50 for that 50% welcome bonus. Take it easy, everyone.
For listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.